A single light source illuminated the alley. A bare light bulb over the receiving door of a mom-and-pop hardware store. Long shadows stretched in both directions, intensifying the darkness of the crevices where the light did not reach. It was the kind of alley parents told their children never to enter, and the kind that kids dared one another to go into. The girl's broken body lay on the damp pavement in the darkest area of the alley. In a shallow alcove, she could not be seen from the street, even in the daylight. Whomever found her had no good reason for being in the alley at night. The call had come from a payphone 2 miles away, one of the few remaining in this part of the city. The caller could be poor, homeless, with no cell phone. Or they may have preferred the anonymity the payphone provided. Each end of the alley was blocked with squad cars, emergency lights disturbing the darkness. The intermittent flashes washed the walls in alternating colors, yet never reached the girl. A penlight held between his teeth lit the area next to the girl's face. In one gloved hand, he held a small evidence bag, in the other, a pair of tweezers. It was protocol to wait for the lab boys, but Detective Jack Mallory always worried they'd miss something. He pointed the thin beam at the young woman's hands. They were misshapen, as if someone had stomped on them repeatedly. Her forearms were bruised and bloody, but most of the damage was concentrated around her head and neck. She fought for her life, but her assailant had been determined. A crime of passion or anger, Jack summarized. The killer was emotionally involved with the victim. Whether fueled by anger at this girl in particular, or just a hatred toward women in general, was impossible to say. Jack's light fell across a single eye, staring blankly toward the moonless sky. He was struck by a sense of recognition, although he didn't know her. Had he seen her somewhere before? It was possible. In his work, he crossed paths with hundreds of people, maybe thousands. He couldn't possibly remember them all. What was left of the girl's face, bruised and swollen, couldn't possibly represent her former appearance. How could he recognize someone from just one eye? He stared at the iris for a moment. Her dead stare was gazing up at him, pleading for help, or at least answers. It was something Jack could always see in the faces of victims. He moved the light away from her face and followed the line of her body down one side and then the other. A reflection, when the beam struck her left hand, caught his attention. Jack leaned in close and saw the woman was clutching a piece of jewelry in that hand. Was this the motive? Unlikely. A necklace or bracelet was hardly enough to evoke the rage for this brutal beating. And if the killer was after the jewelry, why leave it behind? He'd have to wait for the lab boys to take their pictures before he could study the piece more closely, so he moved on. One of the girl's knees was shattered, and Jack had an image of her down on the ground with her arms and legs pulled up to protect her body, begging her assailant not to hurt her, only to have him strike the knee with a bat or lead pipe. With the knee crushed, she'd have no chance to run. Jack considered the attacker may have crushed the knee to keep her from running a second time. Had she run once before? Jack flashed his light down the alley in each direction, considering which way she might have come. The bulb was not powerful enough to penetrate the dark. One of the squad cars on the east end of the alley moved. A van backed in and rolled to a stop, just far enough from the squad car to block the alley again. Two men stepped out and began gathering their gear from the side door. The lab boys were here. It was time for Jack to hand the crime scene over. He walked toward them, meeting them halfway.